You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's up, everybody?
All right.
I'm alive. I'm a little more alive than yesterday.
Okay. You see what we're
wearing?
I'm
not going to tell you how much, but I am more.
You know what, Alexis? Nobody cares, all right?
Yeah, let's guess.
That was old news. People are like, yo, I don't even think Alexis is, I think he's done for.
Yo, I put on Instagram that I was like, hey, sorry about yesterday. I was really doped up on a lot of stuff there. I barely knew what I was talking about. And old ass Corey replied to my story. He goes, yeah, we noticed.
And old ass Corey is in the chat right now saying, hopefully that'll
be. Yeah, it was good, old ass Corey.
With the alarm clock. Nutmeg is up on my chair. I'm trying not to make sure I don't roll over him.
Crimson Pizza said that I'm number one public enemy for PETA. That's people eating terrible appetizers.
Wow. Hopefully they don't come after you for, what is it? Like some trademark or copyright infringement or something? Michael Raymond said
Somebody noticed the drip is dope.
Hey,
I mean, I think you could tell.
You're seeing it right now. It's bucket hat season. When is it not bucket hat season, you know?
Never. When the money dries up, that's it. And you know it never does out here.
You see, we're wearing some Gotham gear.
I'm wearing the only thing that fits.
Okay.
Right here.
And if maybe I can pull this up, but Gotham FC just announced literally right now as we went live.
I just retweeted it.
Oh, okay.
From our account.
Perfect. So they announced their new limited edition merch, the 90s limited edition merch, and here we go. So we'll talk about it in a moment. You okay? You got hurt?
No. Wifey just brought over a very hot cup of tea and then proceeded to spill it all over me.
Like how much of it? A lot of it?
A significant amount, enough that I've pulled back and will be changing my socks and probably my shorts.
Got it.
Is this milk?
It's not an accident, bro.
I don't drink milk.
Dropping
it's
hot.
They have the milk.
All right. Hold on. Here, gotta get the.
Do what you gotta do. Handle your business.
All right, try not to spill it, and then I end up spilling it.
Hold on. You spilled it all over the front. Ay, Dios mío.
Michael Raymond, thank you for the compliment. A nice cold brew. So what's good?
Do you have one?
Yeah.
Were you guys in Yankee Stadium on Sunday? We actually were not in Yankee Stadium on Sunday. I did watch the game, but we couldn't make it.
I was so sick.
Yeah.
But it did make me feel better to watch that, especially after Arsenal made me sad, you know?
Joe Whitlock just said, Christian starring in House Party 5. Let's go. Yeah.
Wait till you see him do the moonwalk, bro. Oh, man, there's tea everywhere.
Siri Brown. Eric Keating says, hi, D. D came in. I think she meant to throw the hot tea at your face. And
she
accidentally
came in. She splashed tea everywhere. There's tea everywhere still. Hold on, new cup.
Hold on, I'm going to let you do it.
Who wants to see this? Can I get a napkin? Is that possible? Yeah. There's still a little more tea.
Crimson Pizza said, dude, they got 3XL, though. I don't think they have. I think they go up to 2XL, but I'm not sure. Please.
They definitely have 2XL because I know they are sending me. Shouts to Eric Keating, buddy.
Hey, look at this.
Little Stumptown.
This show is sponsored by everybody. Everybody in the chat, dude.
Yeah, without you guys, you wouldn't have clothes on right now, dude. I know they will have 2XL. I don't know if they have 3XL, but the clothes do fit a little baggier, as you can see on Christian. He looks like he's wearing his dad's Gotham FC shirt.
What are you talking about? Look, there's not that much. Look how much room there is. There's not too much.
Sing.
Okay.
Bucket ass season.
Let's go.
Wifey just called you Papi Shampoo.
Papi Shampoo. I've never heard that before.
You've never heard of Papi Shampoo? How are you Dominican?
Who's Papi Shampoo?
That's like it's like what they call like a player. You know what I mean? It's like what a girl would now call daddy, right?
No, I prefer to go by my.
If you say Bobby Conditioner, I'm
my nickname. My favorite nickname was which is just Adulterer. That's my favorite.
Hey, whatever, dude. It's your culture, my G.
It's a cool, cheeky nickname. It's all good.
Yeah, you need to come to terms with your culture, my guy. Not me. I'm out here being Cuban.
So yes. Hello, everybody. If anybody is new here, hello. Welcome. We're the Cooligans, blah, blah, blah. We'll start the podcast in a moment.
Meg English said, Pele D spilling. This will never die. And I appreciate you guys for it. Said, Alexis Burning is nuts. It's great content. Buddy, we're here for you. I also want to apologize for not making any sense yesterday for a solid maybe 8 hours. You got about a 2 hour glimpse of it.
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining, I thought. If you go on our Instagram,
some of you may not have noticed the difference, but
the lion into the sun analogy will live forever. It's on our Instagram now. But bro, I mean, it really was when you watch the replay, you're like, man, this guy was really in a bad place. You know,
I watch it. I'm like, yo, this guy's got good ideas. I hope he gets out of that rabbit hole soon enough. Though. 10 million lines. Thank you very much. I'm going to forward you. There's a series of videos where they use AI to solve like those like world renowned theoretical questions. That's mm-hmm. one of them that's been brought up like in the past, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like it's like the two very large powers coming at each other. So I'm going to send you that, which I saw right before I did the show. And I think that may have stuck in my mind.
Okay. So let's get,
I'm assuming cold brew and DayQuil Alexis equals cocaine Alexis is Paolo Nelson. I'm going to let y'all go with whatever you want. Once a month, we should just have Alexis take golf syrup. Let's go, dude. We got to do a lean episode, bro.
sure. Is that legal? I don't even know if it's legal.
Well,
they don't know what's in the cup. They don't know what's in the cup. It's nobody's business.
I may have some that was prescribed to me. I do have some. So we could do a little dab.
You don't get prescribed lean. You get the ingredients, syrup. The cough syrup. Anyway.
Well, they're going to prescribe you Jolly Ranchers and Sprite?
Okay, Dr. Lil Wayne. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Doctor's like, make sure you put that in 2 styrofoam cups.
Morgan Tenza say, hey, yo, what's good? Thank you for joining us, everybody. Let's get the show started because we're excited.
They make organic lean for Christian. Yeah. He can only have plant-based lean.
Okay, I prefer my lean with stevia. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah. Was that a sugar-free Jolly Rancher that you put in there by in a Diet Sprite?
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco. Alexis,
should I just jump you right now?
Alexis Scissor Guerreros is joining me today.
Oh man,
recovering a little bit healthier.
Alexis chopped and screwed. Imagine like so 10 billion lying.
You know, it doesn't sound that far from what happened yesterday.
We got literally a whole bottle of scissor, bro.
Okay,
oat lean instead of oat lean.
Paolo,
thank you, Jesusito, for hitting the subscribe button. Let's go. We need more of y'all to do that if you haven't done that already.
Appreciate y'all. Okay, so thank you everybody for joining us. We are the Cooligans. We're stand-up comics. We're in New York. Well, I'm in New Jersey right now. Alexis is in Brooklyn.
That's right.
You know the deal.
And we off that drink.
Right? Okay. Kids, don't be like us.
Do as we say, not as we do.
So what we're excited about today's show, there's a lot to cover, obviously. Today is we focus on American soccer. Shouts to U.S. as our fans have coined the show. So thank you for joining us. But we have to start today's show with the big announcement, because we had to keep this a secret for weeks and it was very difficult. Okay, but you can see the drip. You see what we're wearing. Gotham FC got the 90s limited edition swag. So they were kind enough to give us some gear, but it wasn't just getting some merch, bro, because
nah, baby, we were a part of the whole damn thing.
So let's take a look at the announcement video that Gotham FC made. I actually haven't seen this. This went live at 1 p.m. Eastern time, exactly when we went live here on YouTube. So let's watch it together.
Okay. Who are those two gorgeous influencers?
Look at this. Look at these. Look, it's just a bunch. All I see is a bunch of gorgeous, gorgeous girls. Okay. Just too many gorgeous girls. So we happen to be amongst the crew. So
amongst our peoples.
So shouts to Gotham for the invitation. We got to be a part of a dope photo shoot. You can see the nutmegs. You can see Nutmeg also behind me as well. Shouts to them, man. This was super cool. We see Allie and Ashlyn, everybody. Midge, The whole gang is there.
VP of the modeling club had to come back for this. Thank you very much, Nick Red, for remembering.
All right.
I did do a spin walk. It wasn't on camera, but I had to make sure people knew the kid still got it. You feel me?
Okay. Trish Murphy said, I love that the baby made it. Well, thank you. I do have this baby face, really.
It's really disgusting when you think about it. He really could have been talking
about
you.
Don't I look younger with this bucket hat on? I just look like a baby that's dressed like an adult. You know what I mean?
You look, because of the bags under your eyes, you just look like a very stressed 14-year-old.
It's not too bad, bro. I'm doing okay. You know?
You're doing all
right. You don't stress me out too much.
I try not to, but I'm sure you were worried about me while I've been sick.
Trish Murphy said, did you get to hold the baby? Referring to Sloane.
No.
Allie and Ashton's daughter. No, we did not, because we actually arrived right after Allie and Ashton left. So it was a bummer, because since they got traded or they signed with Gotham, we haven't actually been able to link up with them, and we're dying to do that. So hopefully that happens soon. But you can go to our Twitter at Soccer Cooligans. You can see the link, and we retweeted it. You go to Gotham FC on Twitter. Go pick up some of the gear. It's limited edition, so there's only going to be one run. You can't get, once it's sold out, it is done. Then you're gonna start coming to me, be like, yo, Christian, I love that bucket hat. I'm going to be like, yo, fam, I can't, you know,
I'm sure you do. You're going to have price, to be responding that way.
The price of the bucket hat just went up because we know.
No, you could, or you could sign up to rent it along with this pineapple, you know?
Okay. You know, this is going to be part of the pineapple rental services. If you listen to yesterday's episode, you know what we're talking about. Okay.
And that was real. That was not part of a fever dream I had. That was real. Christian looks like he's a 16-year-old that just got done with a 24-hour Call of Duty stream. I'm telling you, bro, you look stressed. Paolo's right, bro.
Kyle Ritchie said, Christian been cramming for the SAT. So
Trish Murphy, this is 100% right. He said, I assume that Alexis wouldn't want to hold Sloane. I'm not a baby holder. Don't trust me with the life you're responsible for. No, thank you. But I know that Christian could easily get baby crazy. Christian is one step away. When he sees a dog, he's like, oh, doggy, it's a doggy. And then he like lays down with it. The dog loves me.
It's a bit excessive. Alexis interprets.
He's one step away from being like, it's just a baby. Can I change your baby? Oh my God, can I hold your baby and change your baby?
Alexis interprets.
Pineapple shampoo.
Alexis interprets anybody being nice to a dog or a child as like some wild weakness and sensitivity. This person
taken seriously. I don't think there's anything weak about it. There's nothing wrong with it. If you enjoy holding other people's babies and petting other people's dogs, go for it. But Christian, who used to not be that, now is that. So I know he's got one step before he's like, oh my God,
Daddy Alexis, did it, baby. Can called, we go see the baby?
It's called growing up, bro. You never, you're not really familiar
never
with that.
Never going to do it, dude. I'm going to have a bucket hat on forever, dude.
Not really your thing, bro. It's all good.
Ew, growing up.
So we got to do a couple cool things because we were in the photo shoot, the video, but we also got to be in some photos as well. So let's take a look at these. Look at this, rocking,
just having a chat.
Okay,
right? Just look at these. Look at these two cool guys just talking about whatever, you know.
Okay. All right.
Maybe it's crypto. Maybe it's who knows.
But that was very, very cool of them. Look at see this one is my favorite. I mean, we're models, bro. I mean, look, anybody watching this, anybody listening to this, look, if you need your campaign to really skyrocket, you really want to make some sales. All right, you need. Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Let's say if you want your campaign to get up there in the sky blue area.
Oh, interesting. Okay. we're also on the marketing team as well. Models, that's brilliant advertisers.
We're really an all-in-one package.
Again, shouts to everybody involved at Gotham for the invitation. This is a really, really cool thing to part of. We got to, obviously, we were hanging out with a lot of the players, especially like Mandy Freeman, Caprice Didasco, Dami Richardson. Everybody was super, super nice. And the fact that we got to be models, I mean, we're career models, but the fact that we got to be models for the day was also lovely. And
it was beautiful. And
look
the
at
photographer.
This. Oh,
look
oh yeah.
Look at this. Look at this. This picture of the Dominican Republic's newest Academy product.
Okay, so bro, we brought the heat.
This looks like someone you are proud to bring home to your mother. You know what I mean? Look at this guy.
That's good. Okay.
Zero questions about this man's motives in his eyes.
That's the energy that I love that I'm bringing. Okay.
Christian is bringing a... Hey, whoa. Go ahead. Your secret's safe with me. This is the host of the newest cool kids show.
Okay, because Nickelodeon is coming back, baby.
100%. Hey, you know what? And there's royalty-free hip-hop music being played in the background.
Of the show. You need a new host for Double Dare? Because I'm your guy.
Yeah. But he's going to be pretty. I want everyone to be a little bit more conservative about their betting. You know what I mean? I want everyone to really think about their futures.
And there we go.
Hey,
we got Alexis with the Cuban track jacket.
Right? The bodega shop that allows you to, you know, get milk and eggs for free as long as, you know, you also place your bets at this bodega.
So shouts to, seriously, again, shouts to Gotham. This was super, super fun.
And I know the photographer's name. I can't remember his name now. Was it
Maurice.
Maurice.
Yeah.
Dude from Newark.
Right. Mofo shows on Instagram.
Yeah, Mauricio Gonzalez.
Great dude.
Bruh, as soon as we found out, I asked him, I knew. I said, yo, where you from? And I'm from Honduras. Why? Or El Salvador. Why? He was like, why? I was like, no, where you from? Like, where you live? He's like, I'm in Jersey. Why? And I go, you're from Newark, ain't you? And he goes, yeah, and? I go, me too. He goes, oh, what? And he was like, mad suspicious as soon as I asked, wouldn't answer. I was like, oh, I knew this dude was from Newark.
People from Newark are always like, who's asking? You a cop?
Yeah, you're going to take this information and do what with it? Okay. Michael Raymond says, Alexis looks like he drives a cab. I do. I look like the best Uber driver in Miami. Oh, you want to know where to get sandwiches? We're going to have to go an hour and a half out of your way. But trust me, you're going to enjoy this.
Another reminder. Go to Gotham FC's website, their Twitter.
And if you're listening to this, check out our social media. We'll post these on our social media.
Yeah, you'll see all the photos. Stuff. Okay. So where to begin today? There's a lot to talk about NWSL stuff, but we want to start with Major League Soccer and the San Jose Earthquakes, because they've made the news.
They freed my guy, bro.
Okay, they've made the news for more than just losing a game by 6 goals and then tying it and then ending up winning whatever. Just the chaotic football and soccer that we're used to seeing from San Jose. It's the end of an era, because Pelado Almeida has been released. He has been fired. It's been a weird couple, probably the last year, maybe two, because even after
there's been rumors of him leaving since the day he got here,
right? But the rumors are like he started them.
Told his friends,
The
rumors are like, no, it's been agreed upon, and it's him saying it. He shaved his head, he's done with the whole thing.
Usually, when he shaved his head, it was like, all right, the Britney Spears, backlash is on right now.
I hope the owner's car could take a beating from an umbrella because it's coming. But how would you rate his stay?
I think
at San Jose Earthquakes.
Look, the results have not been great. Did he make the playoffs at all in his time? I don't believe he did.
Regardless of like the result, like how would you rate the entire stay? Obviously, look, when you bring on a guy like Pelado, you're looking for a couple things. You're looking for a raise in the exposure and the clout that your club carries internationally. Right, because that's part of the money.
He came He came from Chivas.
Chivas,
Right before San Jose, right?
Almeida going to start man marking the unemployment office for 90 minutes. you're looking for the exposure and the international clout that comes with a guy like him. You're looking for maybe a potential that the your ability to sign players has gone up, and maybe that blends in with number one, but your ability to have players of bigger names want to come there, right? So you were hoping for like River Plate players and other players like that to start to come on board. That didn't happen. But and then what do you think about just him as a manager, as a head coach in this league?
I think the...
So if you put all three of those together, what grade on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm gonna say it's higher than it probably should be based on the results.
But let's go on a scale of 0 to 100. Let's go to 100.
To 100, I'm gonna say 75.
I knew you were gonna say 75,
and I say that because I think he made this obvious. I made it very clear, like, that he was not really given the resources to field a team that could be successful. That was
which was part of the promise of when he got hired.
I don't know what he was promised or not. I know that Sam Stachkol wrote an article in The Athletic, and he was being very... I mean, he pulled no punches. He was just being very honest about like the way San Jose, the owners, and the fact that they don't really want to spend much money. And you can tell that there was a contentious relationship from Pelado and the higher ups, because he was openly like critical of his own team, not the players, but just the fact of like how the organization is run. But the fact that they're just such a chaotic team. I mean, I think the peak was probably the games at the MLS's back tournament when the team was like pulled off like crazy upsets, and there was like a lot of excitement. He brought a lot of energy and a great, I think, culture to the club. You can see I think it was on Instagram or on Twitter, Tommy Thompson.
Joe Whitlock said, on a scale of 0 to 10 billion lions.
Finally.
Okay, see, okay, so now we're getting into the real meat of it.
These are scales of measurement, I understand. Thank you, Joe. Okay.
Finally, a standard for this podcast.
But we saw Tommy Thompson talk about how he felt like Pelado Almeida changed his life. And Tommy Thompson went from not speaking a word of Spanish before Matias Almeida got there, and now he's a fluent Spanish speaker. So that really says a lot about how much, as a coach, as a man manager, the players trusted him and believed in him, even if the results were not great. He's clearly a dude that people will run through a wall for, but
the guy you're marking runs through the wall before you.
It's clear that the style of play that he wanted to implement did not work with the players that he had. I mean, we've seen two years ago when Jordan Morris completely ran through all 11 players on the San Jose Earthquakes, because if people are not aware, he does a man marking system where everybody on deep when they're defending is literally you stay close to whoever it is that you're marking instead of playing zone. And you know, you can get cooked sometimes if you can't keep up with some of these
That also there's supposed to be a sweeper that sits back.
Yeah.
But if that guy doesn't see you losing your player at midfield and that player just barreling forward,
right,
then it's not going to work.
Yeah. So there's too many, even this season, San Jose, just giving up goals like for fun, but then there were a couple of games that they were down 2-0, and then they end up tying it, or I don't even know how many games they won this season. But it's been the philosophy seems like it's just like vibes, like they're just trying to win on like positive attitude and good spirits and not really solely on quality of play, because you know, from game to game, the it just seems like the defensive style of is just not, I don't know if it's like past its due date or doesn't really work anymore, or if teams have figured it out, but it just led to a lot of embarrassing results for Almeida.
I mean, if you look at just the arrivals, they went out and got Jeremy Obobese.
Right.
Montero.
I remember Montero from Philly. Yeah.
From Philly. Gregus from Minnesota.
Minnesota, Jan Gregus.
Calvo, which, you know, say what you want, from Chicago. That was a free transfer. So was Gregus. Richmond from Stanford was a free transfer. I don't know him. A couple players from college. I mean,
Nick Red said, yes, I'm looking at the table now. San Jose has not won any game. They have 4 losses and 3 draws. So obviously a terrible start to the season. But
the way I look at it is, if you're going to bring in a guy, you gave them a grade of 75, which I think is, I would say maybe 65 at best. There's no trophy you could claim. The only trophy you have as a club, and this is sad to say, but as a club, you're kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say you're, the word for like not important, you know, or you're
inconsequential or
not necessarily, but you're kind of not in the upper tier of MLS clubs, and your history suggests you should be. You've won MLS trophy, I believe, twice. I think you won supporter shields twice. MLS cup, I should say, not MLS trophy. You have a history, you have won titles, but the way your clubs, and then after you got the new stadium when it was Avaya before it was PayPal, I thought, here we go.
Yeah.
They got the world's longest bar. You know what I mean? Can't go wrong.
Size matters. And, all right, we know that.
We're size queens here. And nothing, it seems like nothing has come to fruition, because the club has not wanted to put the money into the actual team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because they don't have it anymore or what, but
Trevor Walter, when you put an afterthought, when we were,
yeah, I mean, a little bit harsher than what I was going for, but you're not wrong. An afterthought is close to it. At the end of the day, when you bring in a guy like Peledo Almeida, that should be the sign of what's to come next. And that next step never happened. You brought in, for the lack of a better term, a superstar. I don't want to say a superstar coach, because there's a lot of questions with regard to his style of play. Man marking has its benefits. I thought it would take the league by storm. because of how athletic the players are in this league. It did not happen. Other coaches were able to coach around it pretty easily. It's kind of a sign that, you know, the system wasn't great, and maybe his signing wasn't great, but he also wasn't given the type of players that he needed for that system. So I feel the buck stops with the front office. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a 60. That's a failing grade. You gave them a passing grade, which I can't see how. There was no trophies won. There was no major. Yeah. The end of Wondolowski's career was a fizzle, as far as I'm concerned. The most successful part of that reign was him in the stands with the shirt off. There was nothing substantial that you could say, here's what happened in the Almeida era. He came and he went.
I give him the grade I give him because of I think he did leave like an indelible mark on the players that he coached. You know, they San Jose.
What are you, vice principal of this high school? Who cares? That's not what we're talking about.
I care. That's why I'm. Look, you asked me for
because
my personal.
Because a player learned Spanish? you're giving him a passing grade?
That's a pretty big deal. Not easy to teach these gringos, bro. You know that.
Bro, you are out of your mind. My guy. I feel bad if they hire a French manager. He's like, I got to re-download Duolingo. I got to get back on there.
No, they had an issue with
he's Sacre Bleu.
The GM, I forgot his name. I feel like it was Jamie something. But they had, like, there were issues as soon as he got there. And you can tell, especially after that first year when the rumors was that he was going to go back to Liga MX, that you could tell that he probably saw the writing on the wall, like, oh, this is not going to get much better. I'm not going to be able to really get players I want. So it seemed like he was unhappy. And as a professional situation, I don't think he really thought there was a long-term future for himself. But I still think he's a good coach.
He left an indelible mark, and he gave his players certificates of participation. Get over here and get your E for effort badges. Siri Brown said, we got two very different teachers arguing here. Who cares? His players learn Spanish. Who gives a shit? What are you talking about, Christian?
That isn't the main thing. But listen to all the players and how they speak about him. Nobody
what
says
does that
anything
have to do
negative.
For the league? What does that do for the club? What does that do for the trophies that won? Who was it? 650 Chris said, Wondolowski, highest score in MLS history and nothing to show for it in terms of trophies. But you think he's going to say, you know what the real trophy is? I learned Spanish. And you know what? And at the end of the day, who needs awards?
The real trophy.
The award.
The real
of
trophy.
Language.
The real trophy. Is the lessons we learned along the way, Alexis.
Okay. Yeah, what the hell are you talking
the
about?
The more you know, all right? No, I think that's a factor. Yeah,
we're talking about towards the end of his career. I believe, I'm not going to put it in anyone's mouth, words, I should have said. I believe that the end of Wondolowski's career deserves a little more than, you know, chasing players around a park.
Sure. Sure. This is an interesting video. I saw this Luis Omar Tapia, who is a journalist. He's like a legend, but he posted this video. I guess the original one came from somebody at PayPal Park. This guy Todd here. But I wanted to play this because. This is pretty funny. You can see the caption says, "No vamos a ir a la segunda." Gritaron el fin de semana aficionados de San Jose Earthquake molestos a Matías Almeida. Basically, a guy is essentially yelling, "We're gonna get relegated. We're gonna go to the second division when there's obviously no relegation in MLS." But as Almeida was crossing this bridge, I guess this is in PayPal Park. This guy yells this, which is pretty hilarious. But I just want to play this real quick.
I didn't hear it. What did he say?
What happened?
I couldn't hear it. What did he say?
He's basically just screaming at him and telling... Yeah, you can't hear it too clearly. Apologies for that. But he's essentially screaming at him and telling him Essentially, like, this is an embarrassment, and we can't go to the second division, which is it's ironic and silly. But the fact that he's yelling this to a manager in MLS, it doesn't have the same oomph as a league that did have relegation in it. but it's something that made us familiar with, right? He's obviously, you know, comes from a league where a relegation did exist at one point. Liga MX, you know, they took a little break from relegation, but, you know, they're just on a break. They'll figure it out.
It'll be back. Dude, totally. Okay. Keep playing second division.
So the reason I wanted to just play that is because I think we... in MLS, we don't get to see that anger of like, yeah, there's no relegation, but it doesn't mean it's not embarrassing. It doesn't mean it's not like humiliating to lose to the degree that teams that lose, just consistently. And I like that this guy cares enough to be like, I know that you're like a legendary manager or respected manager. But you're still catching this smoke because I don't like coming to games and seeing that this is like this product on the pitch.
I mean, look, it calls to quite like there's so many times where the fandom of MLS clubs or the passion behind it is called into question. And we've met, as we've traveled around this country just hosting the show, we've met some incredible MLS fans that really give all of their time and effort, all their expendable income to support these clubs. And you see it way more and more just because of social media, but now you see so much more of players like this where this is part of it. And, you know, look, you know, maybe belittling the manager as they walk by isn't necessarily the most healthy way to do it, but these expressions of passion about clubs where you assume they didn't have that type of support prior, or, you know, that type of support, it maybe flounders in certain years. To see that to some degree is kind of like a positive sign. It's a plus sign. You know, I've seen people, you know, sometimes comedians, they just want to draw some reaction out of you. I want to make you angry. You know, I want to make you happy. I want to make you laugh. But sometimes that anger is part of it. Like, I want you to think here. I want you to be mad at me because I'm going to solve that later down the road. I need you to hold on to that feeling because it makes this punchline work even harder. Those types of moments, when you see this, you have to look back and go, okay, well, at least somebody cares. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
He may not understand the rules completely, but he can.
Speaking of comedy, I have a show this Friday at QED. So come check that out. I'll be there. Okay. QED in Queens. Go look it up. Follow me on socials. You'll see it. Okay.
I will be in England getting fucking pissed, mate.
That's right. There's an Arsenal game that they have to lose in front of Alexis. So he'll be there for that.
And look, they've done it before. All I can say is they've never lost when I've seen them at home. So
okay.
May that continue. I will never see them on the away again.
Let's talk about some of the matches over the weekend in MLS.
Let's talk about the Miami thing, actually.
Oh, you sure? I was going to go with NYCFC RSL, but we could talk about the Miami thing.
No, we could talk about that. We could talk about that next.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Miami thing, because there's all these rumors about whether the stadium's going to happen or not. Looks like it might be on its way to happening. And
right.
That is where Miami decides to Miami it up, folks.
This is a full, definitely going full Miami, because everybody knows about, you know, I mean, we're seeing it now. Florida politics is just another beast. It's a complicated area where you're trying to win favor from, you know, Republican Cubans and gun-toting maniacs, and then some reasonable.
Well, you said Republican Cubans. No, you said Republican Cubans. You don't have to be redundant. If you want to, hey, any smoke, send it to me. You know, I got you. Hello, the ideal.
It is a different world navigating through all this, but obviously, Inter Miami, they're currently playing their games in Fort Lauderdale in a temporary stadium, Drive Pink Stadium, right, is what it's called. It was put together in like 30 minutes. They cleared some brush and somebody knew somebody in a union. They're like, hey, I could take care of this for you. And
they just opened up a big IKEA instruction. You know, like it's just a couple of who's and what's
it. Cause it really was like, it was like 4 months to the season. And it was like, whoa, really? There's nothing here. Where are you going to play? And then they got
bro,
it done.
They just took everybody off TaskRabbit. You just say, everybody, get over here. So
Beckham called everybody he knew. I'm going to need some help. Colo Blanco, who is from Miami and an Inter Miami fan. So we got to play this. This video, I saw earlier this morning, Grant Wall had posted it.
Billy Corbin, who was the director of Cocaine Cowboys, says it there on the right, actually. Okay. He's the director of Cocaine Cowboys. He is a Miami stalwart. Billy Corbin here's what's really happening behind the scenes in Miami. And I cannot explain to you how dangerous that is to do. So my uncle is a vice cop. You know, he's on those like speed boats.
Oh, wow. Does he always have his shirt unbuttoned?
Bro, he good, bro. He is one sexy looking older dude, man. He is drop dead gorgeous. Absolutely out of his mind. I'm like, have you been sniffing gunpowder this entire time? But he is a wild man. And he sometimes will be like, you don't want to know what happened. It's the crazy. He helped catch some like big time drug ring that was involved in Brooklyn as well. So I remember once he called me, he's like, hey, I'm in Brooklyn. I'm like, oh, where can we meet? He's like, no, I can't. I had to go through like 8 rows of police officers to get into this dude's hotel room. Like he was like a witness to this. He's a maniac, right? And he's like, so he knows the ins and outs. He's like, dog, the shit that happens in New York is PG-13 compares to the wild shit that happens in Miami. And every once in a while, we get to peek into what that really is. Like some of that makes its way out into the open. And this is what you're about to see.
So here it is. So this is a video put up by Billy Corbin. And yeah, let's just react to it because it's about Inter Miami's potential stadium deal.
Miami is known for sun, fun, and sex. And Miami, you are about to get f***ed. These 5 commissioners are voting on the biggest real estate deal in the history of Miami. And if you thought the Marlins Park deal was shitty, wait until you get a load of this. The city wants to give billionaire Jorge Mas, David Beckham, and their Inter Miami soccer team a 99-year no-bid lease below market value on 131 acres of parkland at Mel Reese. That's Miami's single largest piece of public property.
Okay, so just real quick, because just to dispel, from what I understand, that this golf course is not public land. He's saying it's public land right there, but I don't think that's accurate. And maybe Colo Blanco can confirm, but I'll keep going.
They want you to think this is about a soccer stadium, but it's just another real estate.
Feels like it's really low.
Paradise, and build a hotel, office park, and shopping mall. But city leaders don't care. They're all getting paid. Miami is one of the poorest cities in the country. We need help. Instead, we get welfare for billionaires. While rents in Miami have shot up as much as 60% in the last year alone, these guys want to pay the same price they negotiated back in 2018.
The city is being cheated out of $17 million every year by allowing this deal.
This is a billion-dollar heist happening in broad daylight, and it gets worse. The city manager, who is the lead negotiator, has a shady side deal to get a fat 6-figure gig with the Inter-Miami team after he forces this scheme through the city commission. Don't be fooled. Don't let them steal from you. Tell them. Don't bend over for Beckham. This is the biggest boondoggle in Miami history. The Mel Reese giveaway is so bad, it would make the Marlins Stadium deal look good. Take it from me, someone who actually negotiated with your politicians and almost single-handedly ended stadium public financing. Almost. I'm David Sampson, and I approved this message. I thought I'd be the final guy who f***ed you. It turns out I'm not.
Okay, so that.
Well, here's. Can you pause that real quick?
Yeah.
Look how he got photos with most of these people with their mouths open or like a weird look on their face, except for Christine King. I guess he couldn't find one. But taking a picture of someone with their mouth open is such a considerable disrespect. In political speak, in political ads, sure, it's like a way of, it's a way of like damaging their their marketability.
It's difficult to not look shady in some way. Meanwhile, Christine King, they got her head shot. This is
she's her like, hair's done.
She said
hair and makeup.
I ain't getting caught slipping. Nobody taking a photo. No photos.
Yeah, no photos of me. Only thing you getting is this smile, my G. Look at Ken Russell. Ken Russell taking a selfie. Unsure he should buy this mansion.
But there was a couple lines in there. Obviously, the don't bend over for Beckham, which a don't tell me what to do, first of all.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. You look into his eyes and try.
Okay, relax with all that. But the I mean, look, this is a clearly a highly politically charged, you know, video. This is 100% politics, smear campaign, whether it's deserved or not. I don't know the details of this deal, because the original plan, I think it was for Overtown in Miami. That's where the stadium was supposed to go. And then when the Moss family got involved, then they were like, yo, we got this other location. We can do, not only can we have a stadium, we can do all this other stuff.
And we can do Moss.
We can do a little Moss, all right?
You know what I mean?
Some Moss business, all right?
We can make some Moss dinero.
Because we all, look, as soon as you hear like, yo, there's going to be like urban development and housing and mall. And now, you know, everybody's like, yo, how can I get in on this? Because I see you making these deals, and I, you know, I'm friends with some a couple of folks on the city council, and I don't know if it, I don't know if the deal could happen because they're just like they're not really supportive of it right now. But if I think if I just have a conversation with them, you know, and I get involved in this deal somehow, I think it all works out.
Yeah, I can tell you've never done anything sketchy. Because even in your conversation, you're like, I think I can find a way to balance this. Where most of the time, it's like, it'd be really messed up if something happened to your dog. Yeah. You should get this deal to go through, you know? So, and no one finds out about all the sketchy shit you've been doing on the side.
Look, Michael Raymond, everybody's saying Miami was built on corruption. No, yeah.
Dude, it's Miami. This is... This is like a handshake in Miami, what we just watched.
Right. Douglas Reyes Aron said, it says a lot that David Sampson is saying all this considering how skeezy that dude was running the Marlins. Yeah.
Which is my point. He's like, you think he's like, you want to know how I know you're getting fucked, buddy? That's what I used to do, okay?
Let me tell you exactly how I bent some of these people over, all right?
I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at his ring. The ring is three times the size of his hand. So, it's my guy's ring.
But this is the... you know, I don't know how, I wonder how effective this will actually be, because this is the, especially because just that 2 minute video felt like a, it felt like an episode, like a segment from Cocaine Cowboys. It was like catchy. They had all these graphics.
Well, yeah, whoever edited it, we need to know who this is to edit our videos, because they were, that was perfect. Perfect okay. For YouTube. It was like, boy, 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 boy. It's like sounds were coming out of it.
It had it all.
Look, if you want to sway the court of public opinion, which tells me there must be a vote coming. There must be some type of vote.
Why not?
If you're trying,
wasn't this approved already? I think this is all going forward.
Then that's probably why the phone number's there. They're hoping to get, if you get so many phone calls, yeah, you have to make phone calls. We know this from protests. If you leave so many voicemails, the politician has to respond to it at least, or right, look into it. So they're hoping to create a bit of a groundswell, similar to like those, like, you know, did your uncle ever work in a factory ever? Or did your grandpa, yeah, leave the house once? Well, then he may be entitled to mesothelioma payments. It's like that
clash action. Call
yeah, call this number and you too can be live. You know, that's what this is. That's what this is for in the politics sense, which is like, you know, you're getting screwed. These kids can't play golf anymore. They hope they learn to play soccer, which is un-American. Call this number, you know.
Well, this is, look, I mean, this is a political hit job. Let's not be crazy. But this is how the game is played. But
who stands to gain? That's the question.
Who funded this? Who funded? They go straight to the top. you know?
Right? I'll get to the bottom. I don't care if it's at the top.
But it's just fascinating to for MLS to be this under attack. You know what I mean? Especially with the, you know, they just say it's for a soccer stadium, but you're not stupid in thinking it's actually soccer is actually crime and prison. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, soccer's not real. It has been played since 1958.
Tell me you've ever seen soccer on TV ever. You can't even show me one piece of evidence.
No proof. And stop showing me all that Photoshop stuff from ESPN.
Just the whole game is a conspiracy.
Yeah. Oh, there's a World Cup. What? On this flat earth?
The ball is going to clearly fall off of the earth. You can't
just
take
these
like people seriously.
Your taxes are falling off the table into the pockets of politicians.
Okay, so Colabanco just gave us an update. He said the city has pushed the vote back to 2 p.m. on April 28th, the day of a regularly scheduled commission meeting. So in a couple days, yeah, it's just what 10.
So right now
eight,
is the
eight,
onslaught to change the public opinion on this.
Yeah,
and all you have
yeah.
to do is create little bits of doubt. And these are Latinos we're talking about. And Miami is not just Cuban anymore. Miami's very rich with other nationalities. There's a lot of very large Venezuelan population, very large Brazilian population, very large Ecuadorian population.
Haitian.
All
Haitian
you have to
also?
Haitian, massive yeah. Haitian population. All you have to do is go to those church groups and religious centers and mention this. Be like, well, your kids aren't going to be able to play in that park anymore. And they're like, we don't let our kids play in the park. Wait a minute. My kids can't play in the park.
Yeah, because so it is. Yes, it is currently a golf course. And I'm you know, I don't know if you ever saw George Carlin's bit about golf courses and cemeteries, like that they should all be just dug up and we should actually use them for something more productive than playing golf or keeping dead people there. So I can't stay golf. I don't play golf. Not interested in golf. You
love
never
golf. I haven't played it in years, but I love it. I gave away my clubs when I moved to this apartment.
Oh, okay. They had too much blood on them. There was so much evidence.
Yeah. You know, the first time I ever carried a golf club is because you used to be able to whip them through people's back windshields if they mess with you. I don't know if you know that. If you put a golf club on your shoulder and you just sort of whip it over, the club head goes right through someone, the back windshield of a car.
Sure. Well, I could put two and two together, throwing a large metal object into glass that will probably
it's
shatter
not
it.
As easy as you think. You couldn't do it with a baseball bat. It takes a lot to break through one of those windows.
So
but a golf club, an iron, right through.
I'll do it with a putter, bro. It's all good.
That's an iron. Dummy.
Michael Raymond says soccer is the new golf.
There you go. How about this? Soccer golf. Come on, huh?
Soccer golf, very fun. And I played that in Florida. That I support. But golf, yeah. Golf, can't stand it.
Golf. Ugh.
but the, so yeah, like whatever, get rid of the golf course. I think pretty much anything there is more, more useful. It's the, look, I would want Miami fans to have a stadium that they're proud of. You don't, it seems that the complaint here that was in that video was like that they're, so from what I understand, the stadium is not publicly funded. It will be privately funded. But that the main issue here is that
the
they're
99
getting
year lease on the land.
Lease and the fact that they're getting the land so cheaply for I guess the cost from a couple years ago.
I hate this chat. John Carl Tritt said, wisdom from Newark. Nick Red said, how many golf clubs would it take to defeat the sun? And then a nice golfer said, Pele GTA. And Robin Zucchini said, golf clubs versus Lions versus the sun.
This is, yeah, man. This is, I mean, I that's a headlining fight, bro. I'd watch that, dude.
We're gonna need better AI, dude.
The Michael Rim said the guy wasn't even making the argument that kids won't be able to play golf. Yeah, the focus here is like they're getting too good of a deal, which fine if that's that's the argument, but it's just the way the video is just made is that you have to sell it as it's like this is the most evil, corrupt thing in the world, when it's like it might be slightly corrupt. It just doesn't seem like the most corrupt. And
it's a bit of a glad hand deal, but they made it seem like the kids are going to have to be playing golf while construction starts.
And you know,
and good luck if you survive it.
There's that very intentional choice to have black kids or minority kids playing golf. When this, like, you know that this was like a total, like, staged, it was probably even like stock footage that they got.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, let's make it look like black kids and Latino kids are just, they love playing golf and we're taking it away from them. It's nonsense.
I mean, look, Christian, you're learning, okay? You're learning how to do a political hit piece here.
Okay.
So you got to play to the audience, man.
Somebody mentioned and Ice Cold Brew said, it feels like MLS has no clout down there. It's going to be easy to bully them. Which I could, you can kind of see that.
With Jorge Mas, though.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like, MLS, you know, and Garber need to get as much like their political clout comes from these regional markets and who the owners are and who the people are there. So I don't, it's not really an MLS thing. I think it's just an Inter Miami thing.
Super Smash the Sun Brothers. I've never played Super Smash Brothers. That's like the Street Fighter looking game, right?
Yeah, yeah, with all the Nintendo characters and some characters from other games. Okay.
We should play Mario Kart so I could finally say I've played Mario Kart.
Yeah, we got to get Alexis a Nintendo Switch, okay? Join the Patreon. Help support Alexis get a Nintendo Switch.
Thank you to everyone who's joined the Patreon, by the way. Shouts to all of our patrons. We're going to be doing another No Cap Recap pretty soon for you guys. We love you guys.
Thank you. Okay, so let's move on.
And they're going to build a bunch of soccer fields as part of the complex, which maybe more kids will take advantage of than a golf course. Possibly, yeah. But didn't somebody in here say there's going to be like 8 soccer fields?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, all I know specifically was the stadium, I think some like offices and a mall. Those are the specific things I've heard. But look, there's no...
Alexis showing his age here. I don't play video games. I've never played Mario Kart. I've never played Smash Brothers. I played Call of Duty like once.
Hates dogs, hates kids. This guy.
Don't hate dogs. I just don't go when I see one like you do.
Okay.
Christian on his back, getting the dog to kiss him. I'm like, dude,
NYCFC against RSL. We got to talk about this because RSL came out to Yankee Stadium and they got a touchdown scored on them.
Missed the field goal, but wow.
It happens. 6-0. This was a drubbing.
A smashing.
Okay, this was RSL was a bunch of lions trying to go into the sun, and it didn't work out for them. All right,
hey, you don't know that yet. It could be an overwhelming force, much like Tati Castellanos is on your back line.
But no, we got 4 goals from Tati Castellanos and 2 goals from Thiago Andrade. Okay, I watched this game. Neither of us could make it to the game.
I watched it though.
Oh
wow! I did want it to get to 7, just to wipe away the 7-0
desperately
that happened there previously.
And they took away the goal from Eber. Just brutal that they would do that because I didn't think that goal should have been taken away. But we have to discuss at least what happened to RSL in this game because they just completely looked outmatched at pretty much every position. There were a couple early chances. Damir Krylak had a pretty good chance early in the game. But, bro, this was, we know and we've seen it plenty of times that some teams go into Yankee Stadium and NYCFC has the ability to make teams look really, really, really bad. Like, really, like they just don't know what they're doing. I don't know if maybe it's the size of the pitch. Whatever, but
it's not just the short pitch. It's that NYCFC clearly has been developed to play in this short pitch, which is why we look so different at home versus everywhere else, because there's no other fields that are that small. That said, every once in a while, something happens where you're like, this isn't this team versus this team. This is this team versus a team who's just like, oh, our tactics didn't work out today.
We got it all literally from like minute six. They were like, we got it all wrong. And you know what? There's not enough time to change anything.
Yeah. Oh, this way. I mean, you know, you could have told us. it felt to me like from the third goal on, where I was like, this is not NYCFC versus RSL. This is NYCFC padding their terrible goal differential numbers. And this is RSL saying, hey, man, we came out and look, something's wrong with the whip. You know what I mean?
We tried.
I'm going to try to go as far as I can with this race, but I ain't got it today. And like, even when the NYCFC lost 7-0 to the Rebels, I don't think that was a way of looking at the Rebels and saying you're 7-0 better than NYCFC. On this day, you came prepared and NYCFC couldn't get it together. That's exactly what this was. This usually is like one major thing was off and you attack that one thing over and over again versus, you know, this club's tactics were better than yours. Hell no.
Yeah.
That was not we didn't see RSL. We don't know who them boys were.
Yeah, it was a little difficult to make much sense of it outside of the fact that, you know, especially since NYCFC lost in CCL and they gave it all, right? They were really trying to win that game. I think they scored all these goals because they were like, yo, Stephen Fry's not here? Let's go nuts. But the level of play, I think, from Thiago was incredible.
Santi in the middle.
Santi was incredible. Yeah, especially not having Maxi Morales and still...
That's why I was so impressed with what he was able to do in the middle.
I got to give probably the most credit, I think, to Keaton Parks. Keaton Parks was incredible. Absolutely stellar. And it's still like... you're not used to seeing a guy that tall be so nimble with the ball. I mean, he could, in my opinion, if he was better at like shooting from distance, he would remind me of like Paul Pogba, like very tall. I think Keaton Parks is taller than Paul Pogba. He might be.
See, I get a little more kind of like young Steven Gerrard vibes from him.
Okay,
because you can move him around the pitch so much. I could see Keaton Parks, his favorite position to me feels like somewhere between a regista and like a central midfielder, where he kind of likes to see most of the park, but he likes to run up and get involved in the attack. But he does sort of like that late run.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to sort of be like the guy who like, I'll pass you the ball and then I'll make a movement. In case you need me, I'll be here.
Yeah, he does the, he doesn't really do long passes that often. Like, that's not really his game, but he can get out of tight spaces with and he just has that ability that you're used to seeing it from shorter players. That's just really the main thing. The fact that he's a central midfielder and taller than both center backs is pretty incredible. Right. But he had an incredible game. And he also took the boot to the face that led to the penalty from Tati. So the dude obviously risking it all out there. I also thought it was a bit of a mistake to not start him in the CCL match against Seattle, because he came in the second half. But I thought him instead of I didn't really understand the decision to start Cacha Acevedo in that position. I would assume maybe it has something to do, I don't know, injury or recovering from something or whatever. I don't know. It just it seemed like, especially
beginning of the season, right. You got to tinker a little bit.
But four goals for Tati Castellanos.
This is John Carl Tritt said the thing that was off was the groundskeeper's tape measure. Yeah, the pitch is exactly right to size. Thank you very much.
So four goals for Tati. It's the first time an NYCFC player has multiple hat tricks in their NYCFC career.
First time four goals have been scored at NYC for an NYCFC game.
Right. So one player. Just to reflect on, you know, because it feels like Tati probably will not be at NYCFC for too much longer. But what do you think this means for him? Because after those four goals, you know, winning a Golden Boot, winning an MLS Cup, scoring the only goal for NYCFC in that MLS Cup final. I also saw the rumor that Leeds United might be the future home for Tati in the summer. So Which would be also be amazing that Jesse Marsh is getting an NYCFC player, which would be pretty
two cool. NYCFC players.
right. But does this make Tati Castellanos the greatest NYCFC player to ever put on that shirt?
That we developed, yeah. He'll have the best post NYCFC career of any NYCFC player.
Okay.
You can't take away, they may not want to bring up the name David Villa for mm-hmm. obvious reasons, but if you just want to talk about footballing history and their record and there's, what they've done on the pitch, David Villa, Andrea Pirlo, and Frank Lampard are hard names to walk away from and say, no, you'll be greater.
But as far as the, in their time playing for NYCFC, well, I mean, look, the closest competitor to greatest NYCFC player would have to be David Villa, but realistically, Tati has accomplished more in an NYCFC shirt than David Villa did.
Yeah. So yeah, if we're just talking about just them in the shirt, 100%. Tati Castellanos goes to the top of the list as the best player that NYCFC's ever had. Came from the CFG system. He came from Torque, Montevideo, now called Montevideo City Torque, I believe. Right. Came from that CFG sort of scouting system. When he first got here, I didn't have a lot of confidence. He seemed like a very South American style striker, which was, I'm going to draw a lot more penalties. I'm going to draw a lot of fouls, but I'm going to have a lot of wild, wide shots. And he's really turned himself into a sharpshooter.
Yeah, and he's more, I think he arrived more as a winger. And the more you've seen him develop, it's like, bro, this guy is built to be a striker. He's not the tallest dude, but he kind of reminds me a little bit. He could be like Tim Cahill a little bit. Like, you know, how many headers does he score? It's mind-boggling for a dude.
Just puts his body on the line every chance he gets. He's one of those guys that goes all out, which is why I thought he would play so well at West Ham.
Right.
Because that's exactly what those West Ham fans want. But again, same with Leeds. His physicality is perfect for Leeds.
Yeah.
That said, I think, you know, you hope... You know, who does NYCFC have as a backup in case this guy gets bought soon?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
You would think Eber would step up and have the season he was having before he got injured. I think that's on everybody's mind. But I think getting the four goals, you know, also, you know, you feel bad for Zach McMath, who's obviously not the regular starter for RSL, but he was his defenders were not helping him out.
I felt terrible posting that meme that we posted.
Right.
I'm sorry. I felt bad that you did that, Christian.
pretty awful of me to do that.
Yeah, which I don't know if you saw. It was a training video where the guy's just trying to avoid the floating cones.
Yes, I did see it. I'll pull it up for everybody, but this is the tweet. Zach McMath at Yankee Stadium, and he's really just avoiding every cone.
The part that hurt me the most was somebody quote tweeted and just put brutal, and it was an RSL fan, and I was like, damn.
But RSL, they came in with the they posted that video posting a video of the banner. Of the championship banner, and they're zoomed into it and said like, oh wow, we found it. Obviously, making fun of the MLS Cup banner for NYCFC. And hey, you know, the tweet looks a little bit more ridiculous after a 6-0 victory.
Yeah, I see. You look pretty closely at it. If not, you got a good idea as to why we won that trophy.
This is if you want to do the banter. You just know that from time to time it could blow up in your face, and you gotta live with it. Everybody in MLS and NWSL, they all experience it, and if it's a risk you take, and if you win, it feels great. You can gloat, but when you lose, you gotta take that L gracefully, I guess.
Hurts. Also, you may have missed the massive back wall covering the entire outfield that says NYCFC 2021 MLS Cup champions.
They did.
Massive. So I know y'all looking for this little ass banner, but y'all seem to miss
right.
The thing that covers the entire outfield.
So speaking of banter, obviously the NWSL Challenge Cup is almost wrapping up. And obviously, we're rocking Gotham FC gear, but Gotham FC did take a loss over the weekend to Washington Spirit. I remember we were talking about this game because we were like, yo, when they play again, it's going to be a little bit, there's going to be some, you know, not necessarily bad blood, but there's going to be, there's a
little bit of clap back.
A little undertone.
Yeah, clapping back. Yeah. You got to clap back.
Yeah, okay.
Whoever wins, they both had this tweet ready to go with whoever won.
So I know.
We know the person that got them who had to delete the tweet. And the one at Washington Spirit got to hit the post.
Right. So you see the tweet from Washington Spirit, and it's a picture of Trinity Rodman and Ashley Sanchez.
Who are both involved in the beef.
Right. And it says,
both have been on our show.
lovely, lovely ladies. They said, and the Washington Spirit tweeted, "Feeling confident, honey," which is a little probably quoting the goalkeeper for Gotham FC, Ashton Harris, she clapped back after a tweet from Washington Spirit kind of pointing out that her wife Allie Krieger touched some grass after trying to mark Ashley Sanchez. We did a YouTube video about it if you don't know what we're talking about, but there's a whole backstory. So now Trinity Rodman goes off in this game, scores two goals. I think Ashley Sanchez may have scored one, if I'm not mistaken. But there were a couple things. Everybody is aware of like what's going on, and Gotham scored in the fourth minute, so it felt like they had a strong start. But the Washington Spirit, obviously NWSL champions last year, they're really good.
They're very good.
With the emergence, obviously signing Trinity Rodman, but they already had Ashley Sanchez. They have Kelly O'Hara. They just have so many. Ashley Hatch. I don't know, exactly who is doing the scouting for the Washington Spirit, but it is pretty incredible. They have not missed in the last like 2-3 years as far as the decisions on
going through a divorce of owners and all this back and forth. It's pretty impressive the squad they've been able to put together.
So after they put out the tweet, if you go through the comments, people are going off. But then this one, this is, you see this GIF right here. You see Trinity Rodman dancing in a very childish way in front of Ashton Harris. So I wonder how much, this is, it's Challenge Cup. It's preseason technically, but I don't know how much of an effect do you think this really has? Is this like, it's just the beginning of a rivalry, or, regular season starts and we're not thinking about this anymore?
No, this is 100% the beginning of a rivalry. Look, this is what it takes, I think, to get to the point where you have two teams that aren't necessarily next to each other, that wouldn't naturally be rivals. This is what it takes to add just that little bit of bad blood, just that little bit, just add that extra layer of why you want to win. That I think is massive.
Okay.
Shouts to a nice cold brew. Thanks for hanging out with us. And yo, we see the conversation in the chat. We're going to talk about Zach Steffen in a second, or at least the national team, because I do want to talk about, where that is. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. But when it comes to this NWSL thing, I think this is good, right? Don't you think this is like, first of all, it's not wildly negative. It's a little spirited, but it's not wildly negative.
No pun intended, I guess. All right.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing about it that you're like, I'm a little uncomfortable with the way this is. No, this is all like, one person is sticking up for their partner. Also a coworker and teammate of theirs. Someone else is clapping back. Yeah. This other player, and they're showing they're clapping back on the pitch. This is exactly what you want.
Yeah. So it's interesting because you see it on some of the retweets or at least some of the quote tweets. Some people are kind of vehemently against this. They think that social media admins of teams shouldn't be bantering back and forth. I mean, I'm on the side of I don't agree with that. But it's also
I say, you're focusing on the wrong part of the game, grandpa or grandma. Then just focus on the pitch. Don't worry about what the admins do or don't do. If you're not cool with it, what do you want the admin to do? Just be like, another goal was scored. That's you're wasting time. If you're going to have a social media, you need to find a way to get engagement. Look, this is at the end of the day, NWSL is at a period in their lifespan where they're in growth mode. They need to do different things to grow. Yeah. They need people outside of you and your friends who already know about the team and already go. They need those folks also talking about it. And if that pulls, if you get a lot more engagement because of a little bit of back and forth with a couple of the clubs, then that's a positive. That's a benefit for you. That's a fuller stadium when you go see the game. That's players that get paid more because there's more people coming into the gate. And that's everybody way more happy in a league that's way more successful and can continue to grow at a much faster rate. And that's more and more people that get a chance to play the sport in this country. Now, that comes with a lot of things, not just bantering back and forth, but that's a part of it. If you don't like it, just don't read that. Unfollow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see the... the purists or the traditionalists being like, this is not how it should be done. But even if
how should it be done?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think there's
Well, I'm asking, what is the other option?
To not have ridicule or banter between each other. It's just boring. Yeah, it might be a little bit dull. I can see that. It's just I think the I'm wondering how valid that that statement is, and I'm trying to not simply dismiss it as like they're being boomers or whatever. But I do think that, look, there's obviously a risk or consequence, just like what I mentioned. Like if your team loses, it can feel a little bit more embarrassing if you're having all this banter and then you lose. Just like RSL was, they were teasing, making all these jokes before the game, and they lose 6-0. So there is a risk. You understand that. But I do think, like what you said before about, I think the future of soccer in America and what makes it fun, what makes it unique, is that it doesn't have this tradition that goes on for a century, that went on for a century, and we can kind of make it our own thing. So if that is a little bit of professional level banter between the clubs, look, I'm for it. I'm not complaining about it. Obviously,
no. The more the better.
More fodder for us.
Honestly, not even just us. Hire comedians, hire professional roasters who understand the league to write these things for you guys. It'll be better.
Okay, look, we're starting a whole new industry.
clap at every club you play against, please.
Crimson Pizza said, look at this. You don't see this too often. It says, Alexis is right. If you just want the score update. Okay. There it is.
There it is.
If you want the score update, Google is right there. So
there you go. I mean, look, there's no banter coming from Google. And also, people complain, like, act like newspaper headlines weren't this.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't need that anymore. Now you got the clubs doing it themselves. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. Robin Seguini said, but also, if you don't dish it out, if you can't take it. I don't know who you're referencing exactly, but yeah, look, I've told Christian, he's got to stop. He's got to relax.
Okay.
You can't fight everybody, you know?
Given that Robin's here, obviously, not to make things too sad or anything, but I just want to say RIP to her dog, Caesar. Robin's been in Gully Squad for years, and we've all become close. We have a channel for our pets, and so hearing like the whole process and everything going on, we're genuinely grateful that you were shared that with us. So but yeah, RIP. I know it's obviously a difficult time for you, but obviously we're sending you a lot of love, so thank you for sharing that with us.
I may have missed that while I was sick, so RIP.
Okay. I want to.
David Morales says, like the hats. Thank you very much. They just got released today, but of course we had them already because we're the Gooligans.
Robin said, no, Christian, don't make me cry. Apologies. I didn't want to forget. And I just wanted to point that out because we also met Caesar. Remember when we got stuck in Atlanta because our flight was canceled and Robin was kind enough to let us stay in her home.
Hang out with Caesar.
Yeah.
And then she was like, you guys got to get out.
Okay. I love them a little bit more than you, so you gotta get out of here. So I just wanted to make sure I said that. Okay. You said you wanted to talk about Zach Steffen.
So people are asking, should he be considered the first? I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I had some time to think about it. If you had to pick a World Cup squad, who is your number one goalkeeper right now?
Right now, it's still Zach Steffen. I have not lost confidence in him. I mean, I'm fighting for number one, and I'm fine with either of them, and I'm confident in both. Matt Turner as well. I mean, yeah, he hasn't been playing, and that's it's unfortunate. But I, even with Zach Steffen's error, I still have not lost confidence in him. So I was.
I agree completely. Yeah. I agree completely. But I will say the wrench is thrown in if the come World Cup time, Matt Turner has a lot more playing time than Zach Steffen. I think regardless of the league, because shots are shots, I think you have to. Jack, did I say Jack? No, I said Zach.
You said Zach, yeah. Oh, wait, yeah. Somebody said Jack Steffen? Maybe. I don't know.
I think I said, I'm pretty sure I said Zach. If Matt Turner come World Cup time is Matt, Tim Howard's my number one. Buddy, we got a lot of updating to do. Facebook is meta now, dude. Come World Cup time, if Matt Turner has a lot more playing time, I don't care what league he's in. He's my number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zach is number one right now, and I have a lot of confidence in Zach. I don't care about the one, major mistake happens. What are you going to do? In fact, if anything, I think he's going to learn from it. So I'd rather it happen in Manchester City than with the men's national team. Yeah. That said, to me, it's about who comes in sharpest. And if that's Matt, then I'm more than happy to give Matt the number one shirt.
Yeah, and I think after Matt Turner recovers from his injury, he is training with the Revs now. I think he's going to have a lot to prove. And I think he's in the better trajectory to prove himself and then get to play in those World Cup matches. We'll also see in the friendlies that we have this summer, who is available, who's playing. I think that's going to be probably a bigger determining factor in it's going to be a big factor in who gets to start in that first game at the World Cup.
They mistakenly called him Jack Steffen in the UK. Also, Joe Whitlock said, bring back Cuban Premier League legend Brad Fidel. Brad Fidel actually involved in the Miami Stadium deal. So he's out the league. He's out here getting money.
Okay. Yeah. He's that, the original cocaine cowboy, Brad Fidel.
The cocaína vaquero.
Okay. David Morales said he really jacked it in the FA Cup. Well put. Mike English said, I'm starting the Gaga for number one goalkeeper spot propaganda.
That's Slonina.
Yeah, I'm not against it. Obviously, if he gets called up in the friendlies, which I think he will, simply out of like, yo, it's getting to the point where it's undeniable, where we got to at least see what he can do. He did get called up once already, I believe, but he didn't play.
The problem with goalkeepers is, especially young goalkeepers, is there comes a time where they have a dip in form and they have to refine it. It happens all the time, which is why, young goalkeepers aren't always as trusted as they typically are in MLS. Does that happen with the pressure of a World Cup? Or is he too young? The guy said he wants to have the most clean sheets ever. The kid's got balls. He's got a big attitude. Is he kind of pressure-proof to some degree?
It's tough to say. I mean, his coach, Ezra Hendrickson, I saw a quote from him basically saying, like, like the kid is, he's like, he's the real deal. He's like, he already has 5 clean sheets in 7 games this season. It's pretty remarkable. Just based on the stats, you got to give him credit. You got to give him an opportunity, regardless of how old he is. I mean, they say it's if you're good enough, you're old enough, right? That's the saying in soccer. And look, I imagine this year in 2022, we will see Slonina in goal for the U.S. men's national team, at least playing one game to see what he can do. I think he deserves that opportunity. Does he go to the World Cup? I don't know. It's obviously it's still a big risk. The chemistry, it's not really there because he hasn't played.
Giancarlo Tripp, pick a different word, dude.
Giancarlo just said he's too young. Groom him for 2026, which is that's it. That word has now even in my wedding, I'm like, dude, don't call me the groom. I'm something else. I'm the dude she's marrying.
Shasta George Sanchez, who said, was good, first time watching a live feed. I really should be working. Hey, thank you for playing hooky like everyone else in the chat. Here's what I say. Joe Whitlock said, can't start a 17-year-old goalkeeper in the World Cup. He'll be the guy in 2026. He's going to be 21. You're that much more confident with a 21-year-old than you are a 17-year-old. It really is 6 of 1, 6 of the of the other.
I can't
believe at 21 he'll have 5 years or 4 years of experience.
2026, Matt Turner and Zach Steffen are still in the picture. They're not going to be 85 years old. They're very much, if they're playing at a high level and playing consistently, they will have had more experience.
Can Slonina play with his feet? Can he play out the back?
I don't know. I saw him play once. I don't think that's like the biggest strength of his game.
That's important. That's important for Berhalter's system. It's important for the World Cup, for the the men's national team squad.
You know, in that case, look,
I would assume so, because who's developing keepers now that can't do that?
Right. I would prefer a goalkeeper with experience. That feels like the right move, or the safer bet. But if he proves himself and he's consistent, it doesn't matter how old he is.
Also, if it goes to camp and it comes out that he's now the number one after within a competition between Zach Steffen, him and Matt Turner, I'm fine with that choice. I don't care he's 17. If the manager looks at this, or if Berhalter looks at this and says, nah, out of the three of them, this is number one now, I'll be like, all right, you made that choice, baby.
Right.
He's good enough where I'm like, I get it. You know what I mean? And he's gonna mush Harry Kane in the face, dog.
All right. So
all I care about is beating England. That's all I care about.
Okay, so the couple other things I just wanted to let's just wrap up with just looking at the standings in MLS and just kind of see where we are now. Eastern Conference, Philadelphia did take their first loss to
Toronto. We're going to have to do this quick because my tummy is rumbling. Oh, I might not have a lot of time.
Okay, so everybody's going to get to see it happen right right on his computer.
You thought that tea spill was bad.
Philadelphia is still leading in Supporters Shield standings, but they did lose to Toronto in some.
So finally took an L.
Little bit of controversial fashion. There probably should have been a red card in that game.
100% should have been a red card. You can't studs up someone in the knee and then not be a red card. It's just so weird to me.
It's pretty wild. So I can see why they would be pretty frustrated with that loss. But Toronto, NYCFC lost there 2-1 as well. So they've been having some pretty good form at home. I think the big surprise here, Orlando in second place. Orlando, Pato, having the season he's having, scoring a couple goals. I just want to see an injury-free season for Pato, and that would be incredible. And he's doing big things for Orlando, so it's pretty impressive.
It's been so bad that I forgot he was in MLS. So happy to see him doing well this season.
So let's go real quick. Let's go to the Western Conference.
And I know LAFC is at the top, but boy, let me tell you, LA Galaxy are a fun team to watch, man.
Yeah.
Greg Vanney has got them playing together. They all play with Chicharito's character. They're all trying to draw penalties and red cards everywhere they go. They laugh in your face when you push them down. I got to admit, man, I'm all right. Look, I got a lot of friends that are LAFC fans. I love what you guys are doing, but bro, LA Galaxy are fun to watch, man.
Joe Willock also just pointed out, yes, Brad Guzan did get injured. He's out for the season. He tore his Achilles in the game the other day. So speedy recovery, obviously, for Brad Guzan. Sucks. I mean, he's like an OG in Atlanta. And yeah, it's terrible to see. You hate to see those injuries. I mean, NYCFC just had one with Anton Tinnerholm, and he's finally, after like 6 months, he's finally training and things like that. So hopefully he'll be back soon as well. So speedy recovery, for Goose. Yes, LAFC in first place in the Western Conference, but the, we got a goal from Ismail Tajiri Shridi. Did you see that goal?
Dude, he's incredible. Dude. All he does is score bangers off the bench.
When he went to LAFC, we were telling everybody, like, this dude, he has one of the baddest left feet in the league. And he's playing with Carlos Vela, so that's saying a lot. But a great goal. I'm happy to see him happy. We are obviously close with Ismail Tajiri Shradi. We worked with him a bunch while he was at NYCFC.
You keep bringing our personal relationships with these players into this. He's a good coach because he inspired the players.
I'm sorry.
Not to play well.
Are you not?
They're all getting extra education.
He hugged us at Providence Park when he went to Moscow.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy for him because he's playing well and he deserves to be at a team where he's getting those opportunities. And I do felt that in that MLS Cup run-up, he wasn't getting those chances.
Yeah, well, you saw Steve Cherundolo give him that nice applause when he scored the goal. I'm happy to see it, and I'm happy for him. Sorry, Alexis, if I'm expressing emotion towards a friend and I want to see him succeed. God forbid. The other one...
Again, look, it's the beginning of the season. I know people are saying Minnesota United finally scored more than one goal. Who said it? John Carl Tritt said, good God, Revs are sinking like a rock. Here's the thing. It's the beginning of the season. Anything can change. You saw how quickly Revs turned it around.
I don't love that attitude.
Once they got Bruce Arena. It's the beginning of the season. This doesn't matter yet.
Nah, man. So Austin FC just won against DC United. DC United was up 2-0. And then they did Ola Kamara did the dumb move of he took off his shirt. After
got
scoring,
a yellow for that.
Got a yellow for that. And then decided to touch
an Argentinian player.
You can't. If you got a yellow card, you need to make sure you avoid all Argentinian people at all times.
You cannot go near an Argentinian, bro. If there's meat being grilled, go. You are vegan until the end of that match, bro. You can't go near an asado. He did curl.
Yeah,
Drewsy.
It was a yellow. He pulled down the player.
If you watch Drewsy, because he goes to the ground holding the wrong foot or the wrong knee. He twisted his other one in doing it, but he grabbed the wrong one. And then he hopped up and rolled back onto the pitch while holding his face so that the match would have to be stopped. I mean, these are the type of tactics that I hope young American players start to develop. You know, just a little bit of dark arts. But as soon as I saw it was Drewsy that he was going up against, I was like, oh, look at no shot he's staying in this game, bro. You cannot touch an Argentinian, bro.
He was gone immediately. But props to Austin for coming back because it really turned the game around. And they scored 3 goals.
Didn't DC go down a 9 at one point?
No.
Or am I remembering that wrong? I was on a lot of drogas.
Only one record.
I was watching this on a lot of drogas.
But it was also Felipe. Felipe is on Austin FC. He left DC. And every time, you know, a player moves to another team and they play their old team, he was celebrating pretty hard. I don't know.
Felipe.
Yeah, Felipe. You're like, all right.
He's kind of a little bit of a lightning rod, you know?
Right.
He loves a good controversy.
Douglas Reyes-Ron said, speaking of Ola's yellow card, he says, and it was a tribute to his recently passed away grandmother on Ola's shirt. He's like, oh, blah. Like, yeah, dude. And look.
You can pull the shirt up. You just can't take it off.
Right.
Tati Castellanos pulled up a shirt and he said, Forza Familia Rupert.
Yeah.
Which I guess is maybe a family member of his that is going through something that he wanted to give a shout out to. But you saw what he did. He pulled out. Hey.
That's all you
can't
do.
take the I don't even take the arms out, you know, just pull right up.
Keep the sleeves on.
Baby, like you at Bourbon Street, you feel me? Just pull it up. You ain't got to go crazy.
So that.
Remember Hosley? Pablo Maurer shared this. Eric Hosley, a player for the Vancouver Whitecaps long time ago,
he had
gotten a second yellow for removing his shirt. So he put a short sleeve kit on underneath and a long sleeve kit on over that. Yeah. And when he scored, he took off the long sleeve kit and threw it. But he was wearing his own short sleeve kit underneath. Still got the yellow, still got the second yellow, still got a red card. He tried.
Right.
He tried.
He did try. And it was a legendary moment in MLS, actually, the fact that he did that.
Great. Eric Hasley, just one of the greatest, most controversial players that's ever played in this league. Absolutely incredible. Also had that insane goal from like a weird angle.
And let's just take a quick look at the NWSL Challenge Cup standings. And it's pretty much looking like, do we know who is going to be in the Challenge Cup final? Do we have that sorted out already? I think we do, right?
I know Angel City hasn't played well because one of their fans tweeted, "Oh no, baby, not like this." So that's never a good sign.
they lost to the Rain, right?
Oh, well, Rain, yeah.
It was a late goal, but they had the goal from Simone Charlie, who did like a fadeaway header. I don't know if you saw this. It was like
one of the greatest headers I've ever seen.
Dude, it was great. It was like a floating fadeaway. It was dope. But the Rain of the Rain.
We're going to have to hurry a little bit here because my stomach is holding up for
the
dear
one
life.
Thing I want
to
say, Bethany Balser, who we met in Florida, remember just on the street while we were there for Florida Cup.
Yeah.
But she scored again.
She wears the that medical headband thing.
Right, right.
For concussions.
And it just, when I saw her, we have to get her on the show because she's such an awesome person, a great. Just a great character, and she's an absolute boss. She's just probably on the verge of just having a very, very strong season this year. There's one round of Challenge Cup left, so we don't know who's going to be in there. But it's obviously it's feeling like it's probably going to be the Spirit in leading that division.
But remember, this is just a preseason tournament, so this doesn't always correlate to regular season success.
So
if you're one of the teams that has suffered a bunch of losses, maybe you take a few lessons from this.
Yeah, yeah. We saw my favorite. I think the Challenge Cup that are going to win the Challenge Cup is probably the Spirit.
It looks like the Spirit are just
too strong. Or the Rain or Thorn. I think they also have a really strong chance. But I saw Scott Parkinson, the coach for Gotham FC, after the game. He said Washington Spirit are the best team in NWSL. He gave them a lot of respect. Also, Scott Parkinson, a toffee. So he's another dude we got to get on the show hopefully soon. Okay, everybody. That is it for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us here on YouTube Live, youtube.com/soccercooligans. We are here every Monday and Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. For Mondays, it's the football show. Tuesdays, it's a soccer show. So
he never does this whole long thing.
You go to the bathroom. Do what you got
to
do.
Only when I have to goddamn shit my pants.
I literally
does
did
this guy decide he's going to start reading from a goddamn script and give you the entire breakdown of our schedule.
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much. This is Shouts to US. Our fans name that. Thank you so much. You guys are the best. We love you.
Okay, everybody. Peace. We'll see you next week.